Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1640, air date January 16th, 2026.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Adre. This is our town hall that we do every Thursdays. And you can see there are people participating live in the town hall. Those of you who are interested, you can go to vashiva.com/orientation. You can sign up. And everyone here who's attending, please feel free to share that link. And the advantage is when you come here, you get introduced, you get to meet other people, you get to connect. But this town hall we do every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and at 8 p.m. And it's a way to actually address the issues of the day instead of just sitting and being a podcaster or just being a grifter and just talking about stuff. We're actually mobilizing a global movement to address this issue or the issues. And as a part of that, we educate people on how systems work. We have an entire organizational structure of leaders, leaders in training, what we call warrior scholars. So it's a global movement. So this is actually about doing something about the problems versus just whining all day or trying to get views and clicks, talking about stuff. Okay, so that's what's fundamentally different. And at 9 p.m., after the 8 to 9 p.m. when we start introductions, I typically like to give a talk on something that interconnects system science with something that's going on. People get a little more deepened in their education. But as the hosts that are running this have shared, we teach people to look at complex systems. Society is a system. Technologies are systems. Your highway system, transportation system, healthcare system. And without having an engineer's way of looking at this, you'll never really know what's going on. So we actually teach you how to think, okay, from an engineer's perspective, using engineering system science, but we've made this accessible. So regardless of your background, as long as you're committed, as long as you have a sense of wanting curiosity and wanting to apply yourself, you can learn this. So that's what we do. The talk today is an interesting one because whenever I talk about the invention of email, the critics always say you're being self-promotional, but there's no one else to talk about it because of the volatility of this discussion and what it implies to the swarm. So I have to, unfortunately, and that's why we want to educate people, do the truth-telling about it, but it is by no means intended to be self-promotional when, in fact, it's just the truth that I'm sharing. So that's the context I want to share. So when you bring up the slide here, before we go to that, many of you know, if you can take that away for a second, many of you know that if you really look at what's going on, you get this eerie feeling that might makes right, right? That the U.S. imperialist government can do anything they want, anytime, any place. They can go shoot people on the streets. They can go harass people. They have a Gestapo out there right now. Whatever, it doesn't matter. And I just want you to think about what innovation is. It's the expression of an individual's creativity to look at the world when they're born into, see a problem that they see, whatever the problem is, and then use their creative mind to solve that problem. And that desire to do that is not motivated by wanting to kill people or maim people or war. This is something innate in being human, innovation. It's in everyone's DNA. It's how we got to this point. We don't know who was a person who developed irrigation systems, who first discovered the wheel or started using it, right? But the history of humankind is the expression of this creative spirit to look at something and to solve it with just a genuine desire to solve that problem, not to profit from it. And over a period of time, that natural model of innovation became hijacked by the concept of might makes right, by the concept of war. And we've all been brainwashed very seductively to think, oh, war is good, maiming other people's good, because out of the war machine, we get innovations, right? We get Tang and we get Velcro. This is what's promoted, right? Or we get cell phones, and so on, right? So the narrative has been that you, as a peasant, should be happy that we sent people to kill people over there because we had to innovate, and some of that innovation comes back to you. Does this make any sense? So innovation has been connected to the military-industrial academic complex in modern times. And if you, so I think 3 days ago, this other clown, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, had Musk on the stage, and basically the Pentagon has given an exclusive contract to Elon Musk for Grok, which is his AI platform, which will be used by the military. The other thing I think everyone knows is that in Iran, the rioters, which were organized by the CIA, by Mossad, by Israel, the entire infrastructure for their communications was provided by Elon Musk and Starlink. 40,000 phones were distributed to the CIA Mossad agents. Again, Starlink is a government project. And so every innovation that we are getting are actually funded by the military. But there's a whole set of innovations that were not defined by the military. They came from individuals solving a civilian problem, not for wanting to maim and kill people, but for wanting to solve a problem because it was exciting, it was new. And that is the reality of how what innovation was for. It wasn't for design to kill and maim people, but we've been seduced, brainwashed, step by step by step, to think that this is the norm. And that's what the difference between Elon Musk and I is. And it's very significant. And this is why the level of censorship that you see that I sustain, massive, because my journey is very different than his. And let's compare that. His journey is grew up in apartheid South Africa. And everyone should go explore that. And he's trying to act as though that, you know, that somehow he was subjugated. Is bullshit. So a small minority of people for 41 years passed all sorts of laws to create a two-tier system, a caste system. And a small set of people subjugated a majority of people to control the wealth of South Africa. And he was part of that elite. And he profited from that. All right. And he comes to the United States, by the way, illegally. Okay. And then uses the infrastructure of the United States to start a company, which was an utter failure, a software company, which the coding was so bad, his dad had to, I understand, fund it to help him finish it up. And it, if it wasn't for Peter Thiel, another serious agent of the swarm who bought his company, he would never have made any wealth. All right. And if you look at his history from that point on, everything he got was at the behest of government. And he didn't actually innovate anything. But he's promoted as some great innovator because everything he does is in collusion with government and is with the military-industrial complex, with the war machine. So if you bring up the slide, and I really wanted to distinguish this because we're at an important time in the United States history. Are we going to recognize real innovators who came from a very different journey to actually create things to serve humanity? Or are we going to promote a fraud? Because he's actually a war machine slave. And that's why he's promoted. And the invention of email defies this might makes right model. So that's what I want to talk about. Because it's so easy to get brainwashed. It's very subtle. And this is why the story of the invention of email, I'm going to take it to you from a different angle. I hope it'll be valuable, okay? But it really defies the might makes right model. We're heading down into this very spiritual darkness that might makes right. You can do anything you want because you have better weapons. By the way, I'm not sure if you guys know, when you can take away the slide, that there were reports in Venezuela that when the United States came in, people were reporting that their blood started boiling, that the weapons that they used were microwave weapons. Okay? So the United States war machine has created weapons that kill people in innumerable, really fucked up ways. So this is where humanity's headed. All this brain power is being fueled to aggrandize and support people. And this has been going on for a long time, by the way. And you have to really consider, what is all this for? And when you really look, so that's the context. So when you go look at the faxes, you know, is a doctrine of 2026 that we're entering into, might makes right. And the truth is treated, you know, as a byproduct of power, that the truth that you get is a byproduct of power. So in 2026, the establishment of the swarm dictates the legitimacy, that legitimacy of anything belongs only to those with state-backed capital and massive platforms. That means anything legitimate is ultimately backed by the United States government, Silicon Valley, and the swarm. And the goal of this narrative is to convince the public, all of you, that innovation is so complex for an individual to do, that the only way to do it is you got to go to Silicon Valley. You got to go to the government. Okay, so what we're saying is this is massive slavery, because if the goal of a human being ultimately is a creative human being who expresses their creativity, you're saying your expression of creativity is ultimately connected to the state. And that's actual slavery. Okay? Because the expression of being human is you have a spirit, you have your desires, your dreams, and for you to be able to pursue that. To me, that is the ultimate goal of life. Now, if that's connected to the state and your expression of your humanity is at the behest of the state, you're a fucking slave. And that's what Elon Musk is. He's a high-paid slave. And that is why he's promoted. And the narrative of the invention of email that I did in a very different circumstance, out of actually wanting to solve a civilian problem done organically by a 14-year-old kid, that you can create amazing things without the government. This is very dangerous. So, you know, everything about Elon Musk is he's a war machine slave. He's a fucking slave. And he's not a free actor. And to give you the facts, you know, he's gotten $38 billion in U.S. government subsidies. I didn't get $38 billion. I didn't get $38 million. I didn't get $38,000. I was paid $1.25 per hour as a 14, 15-year-old kid in my third year. So you don't need this kind of money. But he was given $38 billion. And he's really the front man for the military-industrial complex. That's why Pete Hegseth, so he strokes them, they stroke him back. He gets Starlink contracts. You know, he does Section 230 for Twitter. Backdoor portal still open. You know, Tesla is essentially a surveillance machine. And he represents the false narrative of centralized control of innovation. And by the way, the founders of the United States created an innovation model, which was a patent model, that anyone could come up with something, patent it, and they got 20 years protection. Elon Musk, Jack Dorsey, all these guys want to go to trade secrets, which is the destruction of the patent system, and big companies will own everything. They'll have massive control. It'll destroy the small innovators, and that's what they want to move to. It's a whole nother talk I can give, but they want to centralize innovation. So SpaceX, Starlink, you know, they're literally the nervous system for the battlefield surveillance. That's what SpaceX and Starlink are. He didn't create any rockets. He hasn't done any of this technology. It's all military, NASA stuff, privatized. So he's basically taking government stuff and he's privatizing it. XAI and Tesla, they're really tools for data harvesting and movement control. And the trap is, because his capital comes from the war machine, his quote-unquote innovations are designed for dominance, not liberation. They're not about liberating human beings. They're for more control, more control. By the way, as an aside, the crypto bill that just got passed in Congress all sounds good, but it's all about people giving up their power for surveillance. This bill just went through Congress. So there's so much shit going on of government military surveillance, and Elon Musk is a front man for that. Now, Walter Isaacson, who is seen as this great author, wrote a book. He writes all these biographies. He wrote a biography, I think, Bill Gates. He wrote one on Steve Jobs, and he wrote one on Elon Musk. Now, during the quote-unquote fabricated email controversy in 2014, Walter Isaacson is commissioned to write a book on the innovators of the digital revolution. Email is left out of that. This is like the greatest biographer of our times. I know he's an agent of the swarm, but he leaves out email. Wasn't email one of the most important innovations of the digital revolution? It's left out. So Isaacson promotes Silicon Valley individuals who are creating technologies for massive control of humans. And he intentionally leaves out, during the email controversy, me and the invention of email. It's quite deliberate. And everyone must understand this. And you can see my other videos on this, but I just want to focus on this central point today, that the war machine centralized, it's like Chinese Communist Party control of innovation. That's what's going on. Now, you can contrast that to my journey. I was solving a human problem. Women had this task, an onerous task of sitting at the typewriter, making a memo. They had an inbox, the outbox, the folders, a very complex system, and they were the heart and soul of that paper-based system. And I was 14 at the time in Newark. I didn't look for a defense contract. Okay. I looked at the desktop of these secretaries. That's where I was looking at and watching how they did this very complicated process. And it was really a workflow for peace, for civilian communication, which brought a hospital together, which brought organizations together. And women, you know, at that time were relegated to being secretaries, two or three jobs, were the heart and soul of the communication systems of the time. And I designed email to digitize that entire very complex system, inbox, outbox, folders, address book, trash cans, you know, a registered mail, 100 different components into the electronic version. This was not driven by war. This was not military battlefield, you know, Morse code communications to go kill somebody. This was to support collaboration. That's what the memo was in an office environment. People used the memo. They'd have CCs and forwarding. They'd write little annotations. It was a very complex system. But that inter-office mail system, the electronic version was email, was really the first social media. It was a collaborative medium. And that was done in Newark, New Jersey. No defense contracts. I didn't get paid. I was so happy to have this job, to have access to computers. I got free food in the cafeteria. That was my funding. And in that environment, the most important technology that all of us use got created. Why isn't this known everywhere? Why do I have to do these quote-unquote self-promotional videos? Why is Musk constantly promoted when he hasn't innovated anything? Ask yourself that. Because innovation, real innovation, is the product of soul expressing itself, not of the state. It's the soul versus the state. Okay? The innovations of the state, 99% of the time, are technologies for control, for censorship, for manipulation. When innovation comes bottoms up, it's for liberation. That's what email was. It liberated that secretary from the desktop and the typewriter to the keyboard at a time when men told women they couldn't do those jobs, that they couldn't touch the computer. That's what the environment was. And that was done in Newark, New Jersey, without defense contracts, by 14-year-old kid who just wanted to contribute. I didn't sign non-disclosure agreements. I didn't ask people for confidentiality. We openly shared this. IBM came through there. HP came through there. You know, we didn't want to secretively protect any of this. Very different environment. And it was sovereign intellect, right? I converted that entire system, 50,000 lines of original Fortran 4 code in 8 kilobytes of memory, zero military funding. Musk got $38 billion in government and military funding. To build what? All these fucking satellites that you can use to watch, control, manipulate people? We don't know what SpaceX is actually doing. We do know that he got a huge government, another government contract from the Defense Department, okay? And you have to ask, why must a swarm go to such efforts to lie and to hide father of innovation? That entire myth dies. That's what this is about. It's about protecting the brand of the military-industrial academic complex. So every American gets brainwashed. By the way, Trump is about, he just asked in the middle of all the shit for $1.5 trillion military budget. $1.5 trillion, right? So they have to protect the brand that Raytheon, a nerd-looking guy, you know, built email when it's not true. Just a blatant lie. And they have all the historians they have to pay to that to justify this multi-billion dollar cybersecurity contract. That's what this is about. So they have to shadow ban the truth. This is why we say go offline. This is why our voice is suppressed. Because to acknowledge that a 14-year-old kid, me, is to admit that centralized power is unnecessary, that you don't need the state, you don't need Silicon Valley. That's why this is so powerful. This is why they have to go to such extent to promote Musk and to actually censor me. This is why Walter Isaacson writes a book about Musk in the middle of the most important controversy. He's commissioned to write a book to leave out the invention of email. Total scumbag. And he's known as the greatest biographer of our time. So the strategy is keep doing shadow banning and censorship to keep the automaton, which is Musk, as the only visible innovator. So if you ask anyone, who's the innovator? Elon Musk. Really, what has he fucking made? So as a part of this, they have to conflate things. This is a manipulation. We teach people systems. So you have a part and you have the system, which is an interconnection of parts. And this is fascinating. So at the heart of this is you have this guy called Ray Tomlinson, right? Who admits that he didn't invent email. He created the @ to simply attach text to the bottom of a remote file. It was like a caveman version of Reddit. Raytheon and others conflated that as email when the term was never used. Okay? So he was like a little automaton machine at this military company called BBNN. Me, you know, I was into the soul of this. I named it email. I did the full replication of the entire software system. He admits he only did 15 minutes of coding. I spent 3 years writing an entire system. And so they conflate attaching a text message to the bottom of a file to this entire system. And so this is no different than a wire sending electricity versus a power plant, okay? Versus a little scribble versus the entire postal system. I created the entire system, okay? Tomlinson admits that all he did was take an existing program called Send Message and simply update it to do point-to-point communication. There's no inbox, no outbox, no address book, no registered mail, nothing. Sending electronic messages between electrical devices is not email. And I've never claimed to have said I invented electronic messaging. I created a monolithic architecture of 35 integrated programs that worked in 8K of memory And that was a fully functioning system that I named email and got the first US copyright. He did a simple military experiment to attach text to a bottom of a file. After my stuff went in the Smithsonian, they intentionally started conflating what he did with email. And the myths that they promoted to protect their slave innovators was the military created email, ARPANET. It's false. They simply did, at best, text messaging. They said Ray Tomlinson invented it. False. He simply sent a text message. They said the at sign is email. False. It's just a delimiter. And you can keep going on and on and on. They said messaging is email. In fact, when it went into the Smithsonian and the controversy erupted, the Smithsonian freaked out. They said electronic messaging predated email. Sure. I never said I created electronic messaging because they were under massive. By the way, when I donated my stuff to the Smithsonian, the agreement was they would create a huge display. When the controversy took place, they have all my materials that I donated at the behest of my mother, and they still haven't displayed it. I'm going to ask for all that shit back. It's disgraceful. Fuck you, Smithsonian, because this is the National Museum of American History, because they don't want to discuss this. They have all my material that I gave to them. 50,000 lines of code, computer tapes. They essentially stole my material, said that they were going to display it, and they didn't. Then they said there's no single inventor of email. This was a tactical way to try to take away credit. So the academic historian started lying, and they retroactively started changing the definition of email. You see? So the motive was to preserve the myth that war is a father of innovation. So please, that's what I'm talking about. We're being pummeled that it's okay to have Gestapo agents on the streets of US cities. It's okay to shoot people. It's okay to demand US citizens show ID randomly. This is like out of Star Wars, you know, Darth Vader shit. And all of this is promoted by pushing Elon Musk as this innovator who is not an innovator. He's totally tied into the war machine. But they have a serious problem because I have the code, I have all the evidence, I got the first United States copyright. This is just proof. The US government issues me the first copyright at a time when that was the only way to protect software inventions. And then when I was attacked, when this went into the Smithsonian, I won a nearly $1 million lawsuit, which they don't want to talk about either. So it's a phenomenal story because all the evidence is there. I've won lawsuits. I have all the evidence. But they have to suppress it because it's not just about the invention of email. It goes to the heart and soul of what it means to be human. We're not here to go and fund war to go kill and maim other people and to build a civilization of might makes right. And that's what's happening right now. And this is why Elon Musk is promoted, and this is why I am censored. But in spite of that, we still win because we have realized that we as people are going to build a movement. And that's what we're doing. Because the fundamental issue is the soul versus the machine, soul versus the automaton. You know, on their side, it's a war machine. Their mascot is Elon Musk. Well, you have me, that 14-year-old version of me, independent soul. Our philosophy is right makes might. Their philosophy is might makes right. Their origin is privatized military research. My origin is first principles, civilian design. They're beholden to the Pentagon and subsidies. We're beholden to the truth and the spirit of the individual. Their system goal is surveillance and control. Ours is human collaboration. Right? They're promoted by the swarm. We're shadow banned by the swarm. You see, fundamentally different. So the choice is we can believe the automaton narrative, the technocracy narrative, that we need billionaires and bombs to innovate. That's what they're telling us. Or we can look at the soul of that 14-year-old version of me in Newark and realized we're all creators. And the truth is not a byproduct of power. You know, the truth is I invented email, period. And you can't hide it. They're so fucked on this. I never claimed to have invented electronic messaging. That existed before email, just as noise existed before language. I didn't invent sound. I invented the system. So they have to conflate sound with language, messaging with email, you see? And they're very clever at how they do this, but I wanted to do this talk because the heart of this, the invention of email, so many dimensions to it, but it really gets down to this fundamental issue of diminishing the human journey of collaboration, where creativity comes from, versus centralized power of the state, promoting actors who are not innovators as heroes, and those of us who, our movement is an innovative thing. We're coming together. No one is funding this from above. We're doing this. Everything they do is funded from above. All their NGOs, all their foundations. What we're doing, Truth Freedom Health, is itself an innovation. It's so pure. It's really very cool. It's the ultimate expression of human beings coming together, wanting to understand how the system works, wanting to do something about it. How can we change the world? Well, to do that, we have to understand the physics, the science, system science. We have to create leaders. We have to educate people. And we're doing this without the incentive of war, without the incentive of some monetary gain. It's fundamentally different. Last year, an economics professor came to one of our open houses at the building, and he said, you know, I'm really confused by what you guys are doing, because you guys want to raise consciousness, and there's no economic incentive to do that. Because, you know, everything he's taught is there has to be an economic incentive for something. So what's the economic incentive? Like, it was unfathomable to him what we were doing. But what we are doing is completely human. What they're doing is pretty inhuman. So it's really humans versus automatons. They want to create a technocratic world where innovation is pummeled from above, controlled by a few people. And the products that are going to come out of that are not really going to serve us. They're going to serve them. I'm telling you this with firsthand experience. So that's where we're at. You know, it's a bifurcation of, do we become machines? And, you know, Elon Musk is all upset with his daughter becoming transgender, but he put out a video with a robot walking with the woman, and the woman is basically making out with the robot. That's okay. Transhumanism is okay. But transgenderism, he gets upset at. Okay, well, I don't care for either of them, frankly. But, you know, this is what's being promoted. This individual, he's a front man for the war machine. He's a front man for a philosophy might makes right. And we have to all ask ourselves, is that the kind of society we want? Is that civilization? Or what is that? So I want you guys to reflect on this. But most importantly, recognize that we are innovating something. Each one of you is an innovator here. You're taking time out of your day. You're curious. You've looked at the world. You reflect on it. That's innovation, and it's coming from your spirit. They're not doing that. They want you to join them. The number of times I was given opportunities to join the Trump administration, I walked away, because you would become part of that machine. You would get a lot of quote unquote benefits from that, but you become part of the machine. We chose a different path. I chose a different path to build a movement. It's about being human. And it's very, very important. All of you learn this. You bring other people and you learn how to articulate. Those of you who are new, we have a leadership program. Learn the content. You know, I'm running for United States Senate in Massachusetts. A lot of you are contributing of your time, your energy, many other ways. So this gives you another opportunity to be innovative, to participate, to articulate, to learn how to talk to others. That's innovation. You have to learn how to do that. You know, how to use language, how to, you know, talk to people. So we are really an infrastructure. Truth Freedom Health is an infrastructure. We give you infrastructure of knowledge. We give you infrastructure of technology. We give you opportunities to elevate your consciousness, to be actually human. So I hope you take advantage of this and recognize we're at a very, very critical time in human history, where technology is going to go so fast. And if we don't consciously understand what's going and what the goal of it is, it'll be in a blink of an eye, you'll be a slave as never before, thinking you have all this freedom, when you won't really be able to innovate anything. Innovation will be reserved for the few, the Brahmins, the Zionists, you know, the fascists on top, right? They get to make shit. You get to basically be a consumer of all this stuff that you didn't even want, but you think it's good for you. Any questions?
Yeah, so if you have any questions, please put them in the chat. We will not be doing vocal questions, so don't raise your hand. Address them to the co-host or to Dr. Shiva. Thank you.
Okay, to people joining, we just gave a talk on the whole notion of innovation versus, being a slave to the military-industrial complex, which I don't think is really innovation. Questions? Suresh, if there's questions on YouTube, those things, you can put it up. By the way, I think some of you may know, I did a tweet, retweeting this interesting professor in Iran who was having a very interesting conversation with a woman who was, you know, at one of the British news stations, and she's clearly a CIA Mossad agent, and she was trying to pummel him, did a pretty good job. Well, that tweet, I think it went viral. It's got over 200,000 views. And I noticed whenever I do a new tweet, it's in a new area, it'll go viral because they haven't changed their algorithms. And right after that, I'll never be able to write on that issue again, you know? And you can see it, what's happening. Another interesting thing is we did a podcast with a guy called David Alfie, who's got about 300,000 followers on YouTube. And he gets, you know, 40,000 views on whenever he does a podcast. And he said, you know, you were the best podcast I've ever had. And my views were only 400 views. Okay. They do not want the story of people coming from below through their own dignity, making it. That's what the invention of email is. They have to promote a fucking doofus, a drug addicted ketamine doofus called Elon Musk, who has not created anything. Name one thing he has made, actually innovated organically by himself. Nothing. But he promotes himself as Tony Stark of Iron Man. He goes, yeah, the movie was done on me, right? It's a myth. And even Tony Stark and Iron Man is totally connected to the military, right? Military-industrial academic complex. That everything, any great thing must come from war. It's disgraceful. It's anti-human, that entire philosophy. Okay, we have someone from YouTube. Yeah, someone said, the video you posted on LinkedIn with the Iranian professor was very interesting. Can you elaborate more on what's going on there? Okay. So, first of all, the United States media promotes every other country on the planet as some barbaric bunch of stupid people, right? Everyone else is dumb, stupid, living in the Stone Ages. The history of Iran, I mean, it's Persia, right? The Persians have contributed a lot to humanity, mathematics, physics, a whole bunch of things. Anyway, if you want to study that, people think, I was at this conference many, many years ago, 20 years ago, and some people said, these stupid Arabs, they're not Arabs, they're Persians, completely different race of people, right? So people are so ignorant about Iran, et cetera, but nonetheless, Iran is a very diverse country, and everyone thinks everyone must wear these hijabs there, right? Which is not true. So we are given a very different view of any country. You demean them because ultimately you want their resources. That's what it's about. Same in Afghanistan, right? The United States put in the Taliban there. I don't know if people know this. Afghanistan has incredible amount of now, these rare earth metals. And if you go look at in the 1900s, Afghanistan had, the women had voting rights before American women. Okay? And we and the British installed crazy fundamentalists in there to suppress these people so we could have their resources. So that's, in fact, Khomeini, the current guy in, was put in there by the United States CIA. The Shah was put in there by the CIA. So what happens is the US CIA puts in people and then thinking they're going to control them. And it's like you sign an employment agreement and then the employee says, wait a minute, I want to break my employment agreement. I want to do my own thing. That's what the Shah did. And then he had to be taken out. Then Khomeini came in, which we put in. And he starts saying, wait a minute, thank you for putting me in, but I actually maybe want to serve my people. Nope, you got to come out now, right? So this policy of putting in fundamentalists or princes and monarchists is what the U.S. does everywhere, because we want to steal other people's, not the United States people, but U.S. imperialism. Let's distinguish that. The American people do not support this. So in that exchange, this professor, by the way, I think he grew up in the United States, studied in England, but the BBC woman is trying to say, you are killing people in Iran. People are piling up on the streets. He goes, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, well, they're not piling up on the street in the morgues, right? So the discussion is fascinating if you watch it, because he's very calmly exposing every fucking thing out of her mouth is just propaganda. It's just bullshit. And he's saying, you know, you unleash these rioters. And in fact, the Israeli government acknowledged they're the ones who unleashed the rioters. They armed them, gave them phones. Elon Musk gave them Starlink. So if you can't invade them, you try to overthrow them from within. And people must know this is what Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John McCain did in Ukraine. It was called the Maidan Revolution. You can look it up, Maidan. And there was a duly elected person in Ukraine who was pro-Russia. We organized this quote-unquote revolution when it was basically CIA MI6 paying people off. And then they overthrew this guy and put in a neo-Nazi. We did that. Okay? So when you see these revolutions, and even stupid, what's his name at Princeton? That doofus guy with the crazy hair, you know what I'm saying? The professor, what's his name? Can someone give his name? He's like, oh my God, we should support this revolution, blah, blah. It's a Zionist movement because Israel wants Iran. If you look at the original vision of Israel, greater Israel, Iran was part of it. So this is what's been the goal. So anyway, in this video, Cornel West, complete fucking idiot. He's like the black African guy that they bring out of the closet every time. He's their token black guy to act as though he's saying something. He's a fool. Complete fucking idiot. So Cornel West, which we had called during the presidential election, is totally supporting Israel overthrowing a government to install a clown prince, right? Reza Pahlavi, who is the son of the Shah of Iran. And the only reason he should be the leader is what? Because he was born into that family? That's it. So what you see, so you guys should watch that video, because I said victory to the Iranian people. And I said every American should watch this interaction between this professor and the CIA Mossad Zionist agent. It's going viral. In fact, it was trending on Twitter this morning. I think you can bring it up. Someone's bringing it up. So now I will never be able to speak on this issue again, because some guys in India who are slaves to Elon Musk will see that. They will recode my Twitter feed. So I'll never be able to talk about this again. Okay? But I encourage everyone here to watch it. You can see it's got about 182,000 views, when for the last, what, several months? Or for the 2 years, my videos get what? Like maybe 2,000 views? Okay? So this made it through the censor because I'm commenting on a whole new topic, which they haven't coded up yet. Next question, when will driving jobs become extinct? I refuse to believe that the state is deferring it to protect jobs. Yes, it's a good question. So Uber, which is the company that you think drives you around, right? This other Zionist hoodlum, Bill Ackman, who, by the way, gave a shitload of money to a GoFundMe for the ICE agent who shot that woman. Okay, he put in, I think, $2.7 billion into Uber. Why? So what's going on is, remember, technology platforms are where the big changes occur. So today you think Uber is a person driving you around. Uber is creating the software technology that eventually they won't need the driver, right? They're creating that operating system, and they're going to use other people's operating systems. So Uber is going to have one of the biggest growths, because they're going to get rid of the drivers and they're going to implement driverless cars. And because they have such a big footprint, they're going to become like the Nike of driverless cars. So that's, if you want a stock tip, you just got one, okay? But that's where this is going to go. And everyone else will have to use that OS, including probably Elon Musk's system. So the goal is to create these infrastructure systems that are the underlying technology, like DOS was, or Windows was, or Apple iOS is, that once you have that embedded, like within Uber, that becomes the standard. And once you have these driverless cars and that technology, you'll just simply get in the car, it'll track you, it'll know you. It may not even allow you into a car. It may know, oh, okay, you have a social media score. I don't allow Nicholas to go from here to here, okay? So that's where this is going. So many state governments, a friend of mine was working with the Port Authority of New York. And if you remember, you know how some Uber cars were not allowed to go all the way to the airport? Do you guys remember this? They wouldn't allow it because the taxi unions were fighting them. And then Uber got out of that saying, oh, we're not competing with them. We're a technology platform. And they obviously paid off a bunch of state officials to position them as a technology platform, not as competing with taxis. But the bottom line is the driverless cars are, again, part of a larger network of taking away your freedom, you know, getting rid of these humans. But it's essentially going to be a surveillance system. That's where that is, point to point. Now, you could do that if you took an airline, if you took the rail system. But now point to point, the last mile is going to be done, you know, in this model, driverless models. So, so driving jobs, you know, are going to be, that's where they're headed. The question is, are they going to become extinct? That is where they're headed. All right. Someone says, do you recommend avoiding Apple, Google, Microsoft computers and phones so as to avoid being surveilled in anonymity, perhaps using de-Google devices and Linux computers? I think I've talked about this. Ultimately, what needs to happen is you need to become the cloud. Your device at your home needs only to be able to communicate through our infrastructure, where the laws of the United States or the laws will protect you from being surveilled. So the issue is this, and I've talked about it in the context of the Postal Service. It doesn't matter what any of these devices you use, the infrastructure between me and you right now is controlled by four major telecommunications companies. So if you think they're not watching everything, tracking everything, and you think you're going to de-Google this and that, you're just smoking something. Don't be dumb, okay? You notice yesterday, all of Verizon went down, right? Along the East Coast. And this is when all the Iranian stuff was going on. So please raise your level of thinking, not to listen to someone like Edward Snowden say, do this, do that. The reality is all the communication linkages between me and you is controlled by four major companies, every packet that's being sent. And anytime you think you have a better encryption, they're one step ahead of you. The policies have to change, which means we as people need to own this infrastructure. That's the ultimate way out. Anything, all these other stuff that we're trying to do is frankly just bullshit. It's just like you think you're doing this and that. Every communication can be unencrypted. So this is why when we talked about the Postal Service, when we talked about creating our own network using mesh networks, where we as people own it, that's the ultimate way. So I don't really want to go into saying, oh, do this and you won't be surveilled. It's not true. Maybe you're putting a few more locks on there, but the ultimate thing is, in order to surveil you, you should assume that anything you're doing is being watched at this point. Everything. It says, isn't the current patent process the swarm system to dismantle the individual purpose, diminishes the role of the divine? It's another form of spiritual warfare. Yeah, so when the founders created the patent process, they did it to create wealth for the individual and the country. So the goal was, you, let's say, came up to invent something like a hammer. You would get 20 years patent protection life. In return for you disclosing your patent, which is a patent system, because you can go online, you can see all these patents, no one else could copy it, you were given a 20-year protection. Now, someone else could look at your patent and say, oh, the hammer has just a head. I'm going to also add a thing on the other side to remove nails. So they improved the patent, okay? So they would get the rights to that. So the goal was, you created an ecosystem of people constantly making things better. And for doing that, you gave royalties on their inventions for 20 years. All right. What happened around the 1980s, 1990s, was there got created certain groups of people called patent trolls. And they would start patenting stuff that they had no intention of creating ever. But they knew the direction was, oh, someone's going to make this. I'm just going to patent it here. And then I will go troll a company to say, hey, you need to pay me this because I have the patent on it. All right. A guy who made billions off of this was a guy called Lemelson. Okay. That's all he did. He just hired lots of lawyers just to start patenting all sorts of shit and had no intention of ever making it and sort of abused the patent system. So in response to that, big companies said, oh, we can't have patents because small guys may come after us, these patent trolls. Therefore, we need to move everything to trade secrets. And even after you got a patent, they had a vehicle that they created, which was supported by Obama and Biden and Trump and all these guys, a way that big guys could undo a patent that you got just by putting more legal power. So the entire patent system, which was originally created to support innovation bottoms up, is being dismantled. And this is why Elon Musk was out there acting like he cares for people. Oh, I want to get rid of the patent system. I want to just make everything trade secrets. That's the way to, where big guys, small people will never, ever be able to innovate anything and get royalties. Big guys will control everything. So, yeah. A lot of people on YouTube commenting. I'm asking on behalf of others other than Massachusetts, would there be any other people that should be supported? I'm not sure what this person is. Like Mike Lindell. You're asking like Mike. All right. I mean, I've talked about Mike Lindell. I don't know any of these other people, but I can tell you is that those people out there, they should come to our movement and learn some principles before they run for office. Because if they don't learn some of these principles, more than likely, they may have some good hearts and headed in the right direction. But if they don't have these fundamental principles of the not-so-obvious establishment, the notion of what is Zionism, they're going to, even if they're good people, are going to sort of bumble like a blind man in the dark into the swarm. And they won't know what the hell happened. So if you know any of these people, please tell them to come to our orientation and get some training. That's my advice. So anyway, to those of you here, let's talk a little bit about our Senate campaign before we close. We're making headway. We're doing, Nicholas, you may want to let people know we're doing a telethon, right? So we have people getting together online. We as a team are making phone calls into people in Massachusetts. A bunch of people have done a great job in organizing that, but we're fully launched. We have ways that you can make phone calls, and we're trying to make it very, very collegial. So you can make phone calls together to people in Massachusetts to pledge their vote to us. I think if Nicholas or someone can bring up the page, if you go to Shiva4Senate.com, you can get anyone you know in Massachusetts to click on I will vote for Dr. Shiva, and then they will get a link to get other people to vote. So this is an opportunity for everyone to learn how to build a bottoms-up movement. And we've created some really good infrastructure. Nicholas, you want to let people know when you guys are doing your telethons?
Yeah, so we had one. We were doing it earlier in the first open house and earlier at 8 p.m. Eastern. So we host them every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. The two open houses in the morning and evening, and then we will have one Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And we have people all over the world making phone calls. Adam, you know, and we just had a couple people make pledges who got pledges earlier.
It's great.
Yeah.
So everyone here, regardless of where you're at, you can get involved in this. We've created the infrastructure to do this. It's only going to get better, but we need everyone to get involved because this is something very tangible in Massachusetts, which is the heart of the swarm of the United States, the intellectual heart of the swarm of the world, you could argue. There's 6.7 million citizens in Massachusetts. 5.5 million are eligible to vote. Only 4.2 are registered to vote. out of them, only 2.2 million show up. Okay. Nearly 60% are not registered with any party, and we're running as independents. One of the important things is my challenge to all of you is, you guys know I run twice. We are the ones who exposed so much corruption. We educated the world on this. We were the first ones to get on the ballot as a naturalized citizen in seven states for president. So we've made history. But today, I'm here in the event that you guys get me elected to serve. But I'm not going to be the lone wolf out there doing all the work. And neither are everyone here. We want you to get off your butts and get involved. Get 6, 7, 10 people to pledge. That's something you can do. So we've created a infrastructure that all of you can contribute and feel like you're part of a movement in getting Shiva for Senate in. But I'm not going to do all the work. I'm not going to be out there being the messiah or hero. You guys need to be the heroes and the messiahs. We are giving you the opportunity to participate, and we're providing the infrastructure to do that. So it's really up to you. And we want to give people that opportunity to express themselves and know what it means to be part of a movement. So Nicholas, I think we should just make sure, check your email. When can they next show up for the next telethon, Nicholas?
Yeah, so the next telethon is tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And so, yeah, I send out, once you're onboarded, you'll be part of an email list, and that'll be sent out either tonight or first thing in the morning tomorrow.
Right. And they can go to Shiva for Senate. There's a volunteer button, and you can click on that and you'll get messages. But yeah, to make this very tangible, hope you enjoyed this talk. It was a reflective talk, but getting blocking and tackling done, go become a Truth From Health Warrior Scholar, go make phone calls, connect locally. We give you tangible things to do. This is not just theory. So everyone here who's asked questions on social media, go to Shiva for Senate, sign up as a volunteer, get involved. Don't just be sitting on the sidelines commenting and theorizing and just sort of pondering your navel. Get involved. We give you many ways to get involved. There's people from all over the world who are getting involved, putting their time in. So do that. You'll really, really grow from that. You'll see that you can have an effect beyond just, you know, tweeting away. All right, Nicholas, to whoever's running today's meeting, Zach, thank you. I hope this is valuable. Nicholas, give people all the links, you know, Shiva for Senate, Truth Freedom Health, where they can sign up, okay?
Of course, yeah, just pass on the host so you don't do what happened last time.
Oh, shoot, okay.
Just so don't.
Should I make you host?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're host then. Do you got it?
Yeah, I got it now.
All right. Sorry about that. Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.
Take care, Doctor.
Bye-bye. We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves. Because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth.
which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is, it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing, Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people. 2 years of MIT control systems, I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it, anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I gotta build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.
Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.